What comes to mind when you think of Amber Heard? A liar? A survivor? A narcissist? The trial of Depp v. Heard was a global phenomenon, but I want to know, was it a fair fight? I'm Alexi Mostras, the host of Sweet Bobby and Hoaxed. In my new podcast, I'm investigating whether Amber Heard was the victim of an organised trolling campaign.
The entire series is now available to binge wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Who Trolled Amber.
The Sensemaker.
Hello, I'm Tomini, and this is The Sensemaker from Tortoise. One story every day to make sense of the world. To find out more about Tortoise and how to become a member, just go to this episode's description. Today, the writer Salman Rushdie is in hospital after being stabbed. What does Iran have to do with it?
The verdict today, which clearly implicates the government of Iran in the murder, the assassination of four Iranian citizens in Berlin several years ago, is further evidence that the government of Iran is dedicated to the direct sponsorship, operational and financial, of acts of terrorism.
The 1990s were a terrifying time to be an enemy of Iran. Greece, Germany, France, nowhere was safe if you had ever been critical of the Islamic Republic that governs the state. Writers, poets, ordinary citizens. Iranian dissidents were stabbed, shot, injected with potassium, victims of car crashes. In all, more than 80 people were killed by Iranian operatives in what became known as the chain murders. While all this was happening, a British writer, born in India, was forced into hiding.
The Satanic Verses. They bought it not to read, but to burn.
In 1988, Salman Rushdie had written a book called The Satanic Verses.
2 months ago, the first book burnings in Bradford, a mill town in northern England. It's an unlikely place to be fomenting revolution.
The book was inspired by the life of the Prophet Muhammad. It was meant to be satirical, but it angered millions of Muslims.
Frenzied Muslims rioting and taking to the streets around the world, demanding vengeance for what they believe is the writer's blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad and his family.
Salman Rushdie said that his book was being misunderstood, to no avail.
People say that I've called Muhammad's wives prostitutes. It's not true. I've done no such thing.
The danger to Salman Rushdie's life reached a critical point on Valentine's Day, 1989. In homes across Tehran and the rest of Iran, the voice of Ayatollah Khomeini, the country's supreme leader, crackled over the radio.
I inform the proud Muslim people of the world that the author of the Satanic Verses book is against Islam, the Prophet, and the Quran, and all those involved in its publication who are aware of its content are sentenced to death.
The Iranian state had called for the death of Salman Rushdie with a religious decree, or fatwa, and within hours, Rushdie went into hiding.
Somewhere in London, no one but Scotland Yard knows exactly where, Rushdie holds up in a series of flats, moving to another location every time Scotland Yard's special branch thinks it prudent that he do so.
For 9 years, he only made brief public appearances. At a U2 concert in Wembley Stadium, on an episode of Have I Got News For You, which had to be aired without any pre-publicity.
We were hoping to be joined by a tub of lard, but unfortunately it pulled out at the last minute. So instead we just went out onto the street and grabbed the nearest passerby, along with his 9 bodyguards, Salman Rushdie.
Rushdie's police protection allowed him to avoid the fate of his Japanese translator, who was stabbed to death. And in 1998, he was able to breathe a sigh of relief. In an attempt to normalise relations with the UK, the Iranian government relaxed the death sentence.
The government of the Islamic Republic of Iran has no intention to threaten the life of the author of the Satanic Verses.
Salman Rushdie came out of hiding.
And I'm just getting back to the ordinary business of being a writer, and I'm very happy to be there.
But Rushdie was still in danger, because the fatwa was never actually lifted. And in 2005, Ayatollah Khomeini's successor, Ayatollah Khamenei, reaffirmed it. It would be enough to scare most people into locking their door and never coming out. but Salman Rushdie had long since re-entered society. He was living a relatively normal life. And that's what brought him to an educational centre in New York State last Friday.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A man rushed onto the stage and attacked Salman Rushdie, who was about to speak at a literary event.
The author, who's 75, was airlifted from the scene to a hospital in Pennsylvania. He had sustained approximately 12 stab wounds, puncturing his eye and liver and causing serious injury to his neck, chest and abdomen.
The man who was going to moderate Rushdie's lecture could scarcely believe it.
It was very difficult to understand. It looked like a sort of bad prank. And it didn't have any sense of reality. And then when there was blood behind him, it became real.
Iran has denied responsibility for the attack, but there were no get-well-soons.
According to Iran's foreign ministry, author Salman Rushdie and his supporters are the only people to blame for Friday's attack on the novelist. The foreign ministry went on to say today that, quote, no one has the right to accuse Iran in this regard, end quote.
There is no evidence that Rushdie's suspected attacker, Hadi Mattar, was an operative for Iran. But the 24-year-old is reportedly sympathetic to Shia extremism and the Iranian state. And even if Salman Rushdie was beginning to forget about Iran's fatwa, many Muslims had not. It was only in 2016 that Iranian media added $600,000 to the huge bounty on Rushdie's head. The fact that Hadi Mattar wasn't even born when Rushdie was first sentenced to death shows just how long a shadow Iran's fatwa has cast over the British author. Its shadow is likely to stretch on for the rest of Salman Rushdie's life. Thanks for listening to The Sensemaker. This episode was written and mixed by Xavier Greenwood. If you enjoyed today's episode, why not leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts?
The Sensemaker.
Hello, it's Tomini from Tortoise. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. To get ad-free and early access to all Tortoise podcasts, become a Tortoise member or subscribe to Tortoise Plus on Apple Podcasts. You'll be able to hear our brand new investigative shows before anyone else and get ad-free listening across our podcasts. Click subscribe on Tortoise Plus or become a member in the Tortoise app.